We're going to finish our series of sermons on life's greatest questions next week, but since it is a communion Sunday, I thought that it'd be appropriate that we would have a message about communion. And I think there's a aspect of communion that's very important for the Church of Jesus Christ to hear at this time. It's a very special Sunday in many ways. We are celebrating as a congregation the Lord's Supper for the very first time since the COVID-19 pandemic broke out. And we've just celebrated the sacrament of baptism together. And these two sacraments point us to the miracle of the gathered church. And that is my topic today. I've selected four passages from Paul's letter. Three of them are from 1 Corinthians, and one is from the letter to the Ephesians. Now, Paul speaks about the body of Christ more than any other author of the New Testament. And it's a very rich theology. And I've just chosen these four passages to give you a flavor of what he is teaching about how we, the gathered church, are the body of Christ Jesus into this world. Now, I'm going to be reading these passages one after another, and so probably you can maybe follow along the first few ones in 1 Corinthians, but just give your attention to the projected text when we get to Ephesians for the sake of time. And so let us now hear God's word. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jew or Greek, slave or free. All were made to drink of one spirit. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so concludes this reading of God's holy and infallible word. It's estimated that when this pandemic ends, that approximately 30% of those who once were in the habit of being regular attenders to Christian worship will never return. There's many reasons for this, people believe, but without question, the leading reason is that many fear that people will become too attached to the so-called virtual church. And no wonder. The virtual church is so easy. I mean, you don't have to get ready for church service. You can sleep in an hour or two more on a Sunday morning. In fact, you can watch the church service in your pajamas, sitting in your easy chair with a hot cup of coffee in one hand and your Pop-Tart in the other. And all this thanks to the miracle of modern technology. What could be better? Well, what could be better? What could be better? Well, I know what could be better. What we're experiencing right here in this room. The miracle of the gathered church. You see, when Paul talks about the body of Christ, his primary focus throughout all of his letters is the gathered church, that the church itself is the body of Christ. As important as those debates that raged through the Middle Ages and the Reformation were concerning the bread and the wine of communion and whether or not Christ's body and blood was actually present in the elements, as important as that debate is, Paul's focus was not on that, but it was on the unity that we together become the incarnate Christ. We become the body of Christ on earth when we, the church, gather together. In the context of 1 Corinthians, those of you who've read that book know that congregation was torn apart by divisions and parties. The congregation could not agree on one thing or another. And in the context of the Lord's Supper, some were coming and feasting, and others were going away hungry. And Paul, when he says that we need to discern the body of Christ, what he was talking about is we need to discern that we, as the church, together are the body of Christ, and there's no room for division amongst us. And so I want to talk about this miracle of the gathered church today. But I want to contrast it first with the so-called miracle of technology. And that miracle of technology, well, that is something I would put in quotation marks, because the virtual church is a wonderful thing in many ways, but it is not a miracle. It's been a tremendous blessing in the midst of this pandemic. It has allowed us to continue to minister to our members who, because of compromised health reasons, to gather in the church be something that would be far too dangerous. Again, we all have been told, and it seems as though the evidence supports it even now, that those who are over 70 years of age, and particularly those who have compromised health conditions like obesity or high blood pressure, diabetes or heart disease, that they have a very high risk of contracting this dreaded disease and having even fatal consequences for doing so. In addition, we've found that many of our shut-in members, those who are travel, and even people out of state, are being blessed by these services. As Craig hinted to, there's many in our community who are now listening in to our radio broadcast. Hopefully God will use this to bring them in to our gathered worship together. All these things are good things, and we are very thankful for them. But this so-called miracle of technology is not a miracle at all. It's simply the work of man, not of God. You see, the gathered church is indeed the miracle of God. We should never forget that Christianity is a supernatural religion. Our rationalism, our pragmatism can make us conclude, well, why not just watch TV preachers? Why not just listen to a podcast of a sermon? Why do I have to go to a church when I can listen to the very best preaching in the world by just tuning in to YouTube? Well, this cold, anti-natural, naturalism, this rationality, it overlooks the fact that when God's people are together, he's working in a way that goes beyond what is normal, that truly a miracle has happened. You see, a sermon is not simply a teaching moment. The Lord's Supper is not simply a memorial. And baptism is not simply an initiation rite. When these things happen, God works in mysterious ways. He works in mysterious ways. We call these things the means of grace. It's the means by which God makes the spiritually dead alive, the means by which he makes those who are in division one. It's the means by which he transforms us into the image of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Truly a miracle takes place. And as we gather together today, we need to realize that there's something special that happens when God's people get together. You know, I once heard someone say, well, you know, nature is my church. When I'm outside hiking in the beautiful outdoors, when I'm out hunting or fishing, well, then I feel as though I'm truly communing with God. Now, Scripture is clear that nature points to the glory of God, but nowhere does Scripture say that nature is the body of Christ. Jesus doesn't say that nature is his church. He says, you are his church. The New Testament word church is the equivalent of the Old Testament word assembly. The church exists only in fellowship with other Christians. Scripture teaches us, as I said before, that creation points to God, but creation itself does not give us communion with God. Only the assembly of God's people does. You know, there's two notable congregations in the news today. One is in the District of Columbia. One is in California. And both these congregations are rightly insisting that God obligates them to gather together for personal, in-person worship. The governments of this world may not see the necessity of the gathered church, but God insists upon it. At the beginning of this pandemic, our session and many other congregations believed it was a helpful and necessary thing for us temporarily to not gather together in person so as to flatten the curve. But that necessity is long since past. And for those who are able-bodied, those who do not have compromised health, we need to be together. You know, this pandemic, it is going to end. This pandemic is going to end. But what will happen then? Will 30% of people who once were worshiping not gather in worship again? As many pundits say, it's true. You know, I pray not. And I pray not especially for this congregation. I don't want Green Valley Presbyterian Church to be a 70% congregation. I want us to be a 100% congregation. Amen? And you know the reason why is, as Paul continues talking about the body of Christ, he insists that when we're not together, the church suffers. For he says, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And then he goes on in verse 20 to say, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And finally, in verse 26 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he concludes by saying, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Right now, we're in an extraordinary time. We're in a time when the Church of Jesus Christ indeed is suffering because of COVID-19. That dreaded disease is keeping us apart. And we long, don't we? We long for the day when we can all be together. And as Paul says in verse 26, we can all rejoice once again together. Let us not let this time pass by without us learning the lesson before us today of how precious, how valuable the gathered church is. Let the longing in your heart make you all the more committed to worshiping together as a congregation. For when this is over, we need to all commit ourselves once again to enjoy the fellowship of the saints as never before. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for the miracle of the gathered church. We thank you that you are doing something that goes beyond simple human reason, that a sermon is not simply a conveying of information. It's the word of God by which sinners are saved and saints are sanctified. That the sacrament of baptism is not simply an initiation rite, but it is a means by which you seal for us your covenantal promises that we in our household shall be saved. And the Lord's Supper is not simply a memorial dinner, but it's a time where we have true communion with one another and with Jesus Christ. It's a time in which we proclaim the Lord's death until he returns again, for it points to that glorious hope that we all share together. Oh, Father God, let us not become lax during this time. Let none of us despise the gathered church, but rather as soon as it's safe and all of us are able, let us once again gather together in person, worshiping you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.